Welcome to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance with Jeffrey Panik from Balance Wealth Partners. In this space, we're keeping it real about money, unraveling the intricacies of spending and investing, and making it all about you. Dive into the journey of striking the perfect balance between enjoying the now and preparing for what's next. Money talk might seem complex, but we're here to simplify it. Join us as we, along with experienced guests, are planning for more than retirement. We are planning for life.
Welcome to the Balance of Wealth podcast with your host, Jeff Panik. Jeff, good morning. Good to see you. And I've got to admit, you're going to be talking about something in today's episode that, well, I've been guilty of not following. So without further ado, take it away.
Yeah, good seeing you today, Bill. So today we're going to talk about an emergency fund or a rainy day fund.
Yeah.
And the reason why you more than likely need it on even a sunny day. And, you know, it's easier said than done if you have an expense that pops up. But again, it with most people, and there's been several studies, there's probably about 37% of Americans that if they had a car repair or a medical expense, they couldn't afford it. And they would either have to borrow the money or sell something to get the money. And so, again, saving, you know, the emergency fund is frankly the foundation of your savings plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, these funds should be set aside in case of emergency. And, you know, typically we look and say, you know, we want 3 to 6 months of savings, but really you want to set aside some money for an unexpected expense, like I mentioned before, a medical bill or a car repair. And also, if you become unemployed, you're going to need a little bit of money before you find another job. And so, you know, really you want to have the emergency fund there as a backstop. And, you know, it's easier said than done to say you need an emergency fund with 6 months of savings in it. You know, you really have to look and say, well, how can I accumulate that over time?
Yeah.
And, you know, most people, I would say probably 95% of people starting out, you know, they just don't have 6 months of savings where they can just dump it right into an emergency fund or you know, a rainy day fund.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about today, ways that you can save over time to build up your emergency fund in the case of there being an emergency or a loss of employment.
Well, I have to tell you, I totally agree. But there have been times during my life when I did, you know, we didn't have an emergency fund. And when that car repair, couple of times come to mind, came up, you know, it ended up going on a credit card, which compounds the problem because now, in addition to not having that 3 months, let's say, savings, you've just put yourself deeper into debt, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. And you know, really, we look at it and we say, well, you know, is it 3 months or is it 6 months or it's something else altogether? And,
yep.
You know, you could look at it at three or four different articles and they would tell you three or four different things, you know, and really what I look at, it really comes down to each family's unique financial position. You know, 3 months of emergency savings could be an initial goal. And once you hit that target amount, it might be appropriate to save an additional 3 months. And, you know, I'll use the example of a couple, you know, who has a sole earner, you know, one person is at home, they would be more likely to want to save more than a couple that both work. You know, if the couple that both work, if one loses the job, they still have another income source.
Yeah.
And then, as you know, having children, you know, the more children you have, the more funds you need to set aside, because invariably, you know, there's going to be expenses that go along with the kids. You know, and what I tell most people, the most important thing is to remember to make sure your savings goals are achievable. And if not, you really need to consider cutting some discretionary expenses. And that's what we're going to talk about a little later as well.
Well, I have a really quick question. It's just a practical one. In terms of setting aside that savings, I mean, how do you do that? Do you do it just in terms of saying to yourself, well, I have a savings account and theoretically this much is off limits, or do you start a separate account, or practicality comes in here? How do you do that?
No, and that's the obvious first question. Well, you know, how do I build my emergency fund? You know, and because like we talked about before, most people don't have enough cash just sitting around where they can fully fund a dedicated emergency fund. And, you know, you have to also realize that it's not going to happen over 3 months where you can just sit enough money aside. You know, it's more than likely going to take several years. And it's important not to become overwhelmed by the numbers, because that's very easy once you start looking, saying, well, I'm going to have to take this money. I don't know if I'm going to have enough to be able to do it. You know, and so really the basic premise here is, more important than anything, is you really want to look at developing a basic budget if you don't have one already.
Really quickly, Jeff, does money need to be, I assume it has to be liquid. It can't, you know,
No, and that gets, you know, some people say, well, what do? I stick it under my mattress?
Right.
Do I put it in a safe at home? Well, you know, that doesn't really work either, because you're not going to be earning anything. And, you know, the one thing I think everybody's realized over the past few years, you know, if you go to a grocery store or you try to do most things that require you having to pay for something, it's gone up substantially. So, you know, the last thing you want is put it into a mattress or your safe where it's not getting anything. And then you have to add more in a few years because, you know, your emergency fund hasn't kept up with inflation. And so, you know, really what I say is, you know, but you want to be mindful of keeping it readily available and liquid. And really what you want to do is you want to try to find an account where you can earn interest on the funds that will be sitting there available in the event of an unfortunate surprise. And, you know, for a lot of people, a good idea would be to look at a high yield savings account as an example. It typically can be an excellent place where you can put emergency funds to earn a little interest, while at the same time allowing for liquidity in the case of the need, in case you need the funds. And, you know, so the obvious question, well, you know, do I just open a savings account at my bank? You know, with most people, if you look at Wells Fargo or Chase or any of the large banking institutions, you know, they're typically not going to do you any favors with what you're earning on the interest accounts typically. Right. So, you know, I usually tell people, if you go to bankrate.com, if you go to nerdwallet.com, you know, they will allow you to search by your zip code. And what you can do is you can go in and compare various bank rates and special offers. And so, you know, you want to make sure, because this money is going to be sitting there, you know, for a long time until there's an emergency. And then if there is, you're going to refill it. You're going to want to make sure you're getting as much out of that as you can. And again, if the bank isn't paying you anything on it, you know, they're taking your money, loaning it out and making money, and you're not really getting anything for it. So, you know, you just want to make sure that you get something on the money so that it will accumulate, you know, potentially more and keep up with, at least try to keep up with inflation and the cost of living. And, you know, what I also tell people is, you know, regardless of the type of account you decide on, as anything dealing with banking or finance, insurance, you always want to make sure you understand any fees and the fine print. You want to make sure you pay particular attention, you know, to verify that the funds are available on demand, meaning that they're liquid and they're not tied up for a specific period of time, because if they're tied up, you know, that defeats the whole purpose of having the funds liquid and available in a case of an emergency. And, you know, it really defeats the purpose there. And, you know, that's really the points that I would look at in terms of saying, well, you know, where do I start? Where do I go? You know, the other piece would be, well, now that you've identified, you know, you want to put it into a high yield savings account or a money market account, how do you build that fund?
Exactly.
And there's all kinds of different strategies to consider, you know, and as I mentioned before, most people don't have just cash sitting around where they can just fund a dedicated emergency fund with one payment. You know, it's going to take several years. And really, what you want to do is take an inventory of your income and expenses, and you want to pay particular attention to what your discretionary expenses. And when I say discretionary, it would be like your Starbucks trips, you know, your streaming services, things that potentially you might be able to do without at least a little bit. And what we would say is, you know, you simply cut a trip or two a week from Starbucks, you know, you can at least start in the right direction to use that money to start funding the rainy day account. And, you know, the other thing that I tell people, it's similar to like a 401k contribution. You know, you really never see it in your account because it goes into the 401k before it ever touches your checking or banking account. One of the things that you could always do is look at setting up your, you know, high yield savings or performance money market account and linking it to your checking account, and then just transferring the money each month when your balance for your paycheck is deposited into your checking account, and setting it up automatically. So you don't even really have to think about it. And the purpose of that really is to have the money come in and go out without you really even seeing it and knowing it's there. You know, again, you always have the ability to access it, but you really want to have it in a place where it's out of sight, and it gives you the ability to accumulate money for an emergency over time.
Yeah. I like that strategy because it doesn't even have to be a whole lot of money, really. I was sitting here thinking $100 a month if you in your budget, if you just say, okay, I want that automatically transferred by my bank into this account. That's $1,200 a year. It's $2,400 over 2 years. And that's just the savings part, not the interest that you might earn on it.
Exactly. And you know, it will add up over time. And certainly it can be frustrating because I mean, there's a lot of cases where you may build up your emergency fund and then you have a medical issue or you have a car repair and you drain it. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is you didn't have to go in and accumulate debt by having to borrow money to pay the expense. And, you know, that goes a long way. And then separate of that, I always tell people as well, you know, you have to balance putting the money in the emergency account or, you know, rainy day account. You don't want to completely overfund it and then forget about taking advantage of if you have your employer, you know, you want to make sure you can take advantage of the match. So in other words, if you put in a certain amount of money in the 401k, you know, your employer is going to match up to a certain percent. You want to make sure you take full advantage of the match. You know, you also want to look and say, well, you know, if I'm paying 23 or 21% on a credit card, you may, maybe I should accelerate the principal payments on that debt as well. So, you know, the point of it is it really comes down to building a budget, taking an inventory of your expenses and your income. And, you know, if you're a couple, really looking at each other and saying, well, you know, do we both need an Amazon Prime account that's $100 a year? You know, do we really need each one of us having a Netflix account as an example? Yeah. And there's certainly savings there. And, you know, the more that you can kind of squeeze, I always say it's like a wet rag. The more you can squeeze, you know, the more you can squeeze out of it, the more you're going to have down the road. And so that's certainly the case with savings. You know, if the more that you don't have to think about saving, like I mentioned, in terms of the direct deposit where you're just moving the money automatically each month, the more it's just going to sit there and accumulate. And as you know, a year or two may sound like a long time, but in life, it's really just a blink of an eye.
Yeah, it used to be once upon a time, I thought a year or two was a long time.
Yeah, it speeds. As the years go by, it's like, every year is just like a flashing, you know, flashing light in your.
Wait a minute. What year is it?
Exactly.
And, Jeff, you mentioned 401ks and retirement plans. Refresh my memory because it seems that I remember that there were some changes made to where if you have a family emergency, if you have some kind of emergency situation where you need those funds, you're now allowed to withdraw them under certain conditions?
Yes. And we'll say certain conditions. And so what most people aren't aware of is starting this year in 2024, there was a Secure 2.0 Act, which was an act that was approved by Congress and passed that allows your employer to set up an emergency pension-linked emergency savings account that is set up in your retirement plan. And so what it allows you to do is save a certain amount of money as part of your salary deferral, and you can dedicate it to going into your pension-linked emergency savings account. The one thing to be mindful of, it's not your employer, it's not automatically available. Your employer has to allow the option. It's not available in an IRA account, as an example, or a traditional pension. So this would be more for a 401k or 403b account. But what it really allows you to do is put in a $2,500 a year of your salary deferral. You know, what you put in there, you can dedicate it to this account. And it goes in and it's available at any point, penalty free. And the contributions grow on an after-tax Roth basis. And so it can just be very attractive because, you know, it would really allow you to save money in one place in your 401k where you're saving for your retirement, but you would have this money set aside in the case of an emergency.
Is that like a loan, Jeff, or is that straight out?
So this would be a separate, we would say a separate bucket, you know, and typically in your 401k account, if your employer matches, you would have a matching bucket where you can see how much your employer's put money in. You would also have your salary deferral, which typically is going to be a pre-tax or Roth amount, and you would see each of those. And in the case of this, you would see this emergency savings account, and you can always move the numbers up and down if you say I have enough in it, shift it, but it could be very attractive in order to save without really having to think about it and accumulate money for in the case of an emergency and having something that's flexible and consolidated. There are a few things to understand that, you know, if you're a highly compensated participant, which typically you would know that because you can only put in so much money, this account is not available, as well as if you, again, it has to be offered by your employer. So your employer would have to opt in and set this up. But it can be an excellent way if it is available, and I would expect over the next few years to see it implemented. It would be an excellent way where you can consolidate kind of your retirement money with your emergency money and have it available.
Yeah, no, that's great. So, okay, we've built the fund, or we're continuing to build it. When you have this fund, it sounds like almost you can kind of forget about it. Is that right?
No. So, you know, but really kind of a mention about the savings accounts and just checking and make sure the rates are competitive. You know, you really want to look at that every 6 months or so and make sure, you know, the bank where you had the money or credit union just didn't drop the rate, you know, where at one point it was extremely competitive or one of the better rates to where it's not paying anything. So you want to continue to monitor that. And you kind of, like I mentioned, bank rate, NerdWallet, you know, there's multiple sites you can go to just to see how competitive your current rate is, to make sure that, you know, you just don't forget about it. And all of a sudden you look one day and you say, well, you know, I could have earned an extra, you know, $500,000 a year, but I didn't because I didn't realize that the rate went from, you know, 4 or 5% down to zero. And it's certainly a factor. So, you know, you want to continue to monitor the other side of it as well. You know, if you add, as an example, children, or you get married, but in particular children, you know, you have to really dial up the amount that you put in the emergency fund, because as anyone that's had children know, you know, they're susceptible to all kinds of things, including broken bones.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and it really, it can wreak havoc on your deductible and the money that you have to come out of pocket for. So, you know, you always want to stay vigilant to make sure that the rate is competitive, as well as that if your family situation changes, that you adjust the amount that is in there to meet the current, you know, the increased amount that you potentially might need.
Thanks so much for listening to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance. We hope you're enjoying it so far. If you have any questions or would like to talk more about this topic, you can find us at www.balancewealthpartners.com and through all our social media platforms that are listed in the show notes.
So this is a kind of discretionary, a priority question. I'm not quite sure how to categorize it, but I'm sitting here thinking, I have the fund. Do I just readily access it, or do I have some criteria under which I access that money?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be for, you know, a vacation. You know, that would be something where you could carve out a separate account for a short-term goal.
Yeah.
You would want to have this specifically dedicated for an emergency. And you would want to have it so that, kind of like I mentioned before, it's out of sight, out of mind, where you don't really see it with your checking, where you can't just, you know, have a debit card for it and you're just spending money out of it.
Right.
What you really want to do is have it set aside, certainly where you can access it online, where you can make sure that, as I mentioned, it's paying a competitive interest rate and making sure that the transfers are happening the way that you want. But at the same time, you know, you want to keep it separate so that it's specifically dedicated for the purpose that you don't have to go in and borrow or sell something if you really have a crisis.
Okay. So this money is for emergency use.
Yeah. It's kind of like we would say break glass, if you will.
Yes.
It would be for that purpose. And again, kind of like I mentioned, it's something where you have to continue to monitor it. And you may say, well, you know, I only have enough to put in, you know, $100 a month. Well, putting in $100 a month, you know, if you have an accident in, say, 18 months from then, you're going to have the money there to pay the deductible, and you're not going to have to go borrow it or sell something, or, you know, borrow money from your 401k or do something that's really a negative for your future, you know, financial life.
Yeah, and that sort of touches on a topic I'm sure we'll get to in a later podcast, which is the flexible spending funds for medical expenses, which is something separate entirely, right?
Yes. Yeah, so it's separate. And again, it's another thing where, kind of like I mentioned before, you want to really especially if you're, I haven't mentioned it in this podcast, but especially with couples, you really want to maximize each other's benefit packages. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure, you know, that if you want to make sure you don't have two separate health plans, unless it makes sense to have that, you want to make sure you're maximizing the amount of savings by being married or being a couple. And by doing that, you can allocate other money to, you know, whether it's a flexible spending account, a health savings account, where you can have money set aside, you know, where you're paying on a tax preferred basis, as well as having the money available. And, you know, with anything, you just want to make sure when you're setting goals that they're achievable, right. You know, and they, the more that you stretch for something, the more likely you are to fail at it, which is fine because you learn from it and you can recover. But in the case of saving, especially, it's important to start out with typically a smaller amount and build up. Where you can start getting comfortable and you can see the benefit of saving because you can see the accumulation and you can see that, you know, and you can feel comfortable where you're not up at night thinking, well, what happens if, you know, if Johnny falls out of the tree and I have to pay, you know, $5,000 for the deductible.
I hear you. Been there and wondered that myself.
Yeah. And really, you know, we look at the emergency account or you say rainy day, it's really there in the case of an emergency. And it's really the foundation of your financial life, because if you don't have that, what ends up happening is you have to start taking out debt. You have to borrow. You have to start taking from your other sources that are dedicated for other purposes. And, you know, we say without a strong foundation, you know, the rest of your financial life becomes really at risk and it's not secure. And I would compare it almost like to, you know, if you see a hurricane coming, even a mild hurricane, if your house isn't put together well, it's going to fall apart. And that's the case really also with your savings plan.
Jeff, for the viewers who are listening to this who want to reach out to you, I your contact information is in the show notes for those who are driving, so don't worry about trying to get a pencil out and write it down.
Yes.
But just really briefly, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
You can go to my website, balancewealthpartners.com, and that has a lot of helpful calculators, because one of the things you always want to look at is say, well, you know, I have budgeting calculators on there to help you try to figure out how much, you know, you can save, as well as how much you even need to save. And those calculators are on my website, as well as I have helpful articles on there. You can also send me an email or call me if you have specific questions, and I can try to help point you in the right direction.
Great, Jeff. Thanks. As always, very useful, helpful information in the podcast, and I appreciate it. And I know the viewers do as well. For those of you who are listening who are not already a subscriber to the podcast, this is easy. There's a button there. Just hit subscribe. That way you will never miss another episode, because when Jeff puts one out, you'll be notified. Now, we'd also ask that if you like this podcast, share it with other people. Let them know about it. Get the word out about what Jeff is talking about here and how you enjoy it and how you found it helpful. Meanwhile, on behalf of Jeff and everybody at Balance Wealth Partners, I'm Bill Tucker wishing you a great day. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Between Life and Money, Finding Balance. Visit our website at balancewealthpartners.com and don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. Content here is for illustrative purposes and general information only. It is not legal, tax, or individualized financial advice, nor is it a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold any specific security or engage in any specific trading strategy. Results will vary. Past performance is no indication of future results or success. Market conditions change continuously. This commentary reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Jeffrey Panik. It does not necessarily represent those of RFG Advisory, private client services, their clients, or their employees. This commentary should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by RFG Advisory or performance returns of any client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. Securities offered by registered representatives of private client services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered by investment advisory representatives of RFG Advisory, a registered investment advisor. Private client services, Balance Wealth Partners, and RFG Advisory are unaffiliated entities. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where RFG Advisory and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advisory services may be rendered by RFG Advisory unless a client agreement is in place.